Yeah, it's kind of an ominous day. It's a little all along the watchtower seems to be appropriate. It is the 9/11, of course, 19 years ago, and I've told my story of that day so many times, it's just ad nauseum. But I did want to play for you. There's so many tapes. And this is a guy named, I believe his name was Keith, but it might have been Kevin Cosgrave, stuck on the 105th floor on the phone with 911. And you actually hear, it's hard to make out everything he's saying because audio quality isn't that great, but more than that, he's having a hard time breathing. There's lots of black smoke. He's very impatient. He thinks somebody can get up there and rescue him and another guy that are stuck in an office. He doesn't know that the dispatchers know it's impossible. And you actually hear the building collapse under him.
It's really bad. It's black. It's iron. Is anybody else want to try in here? These young men, we're not ready to die.
I am too.
How the hell are you going to get my ass down? I need oxygen.
They're getting to you. They have a lot of apparatus on the team.
It doesn't feel like it, lady. You get them in from all over. They're getting from Jersey. I don't give a shit. Mine's Cosgrove. I must have called about a dozen times already. C-O-S-G-R-O-V-E.
Yeah.
My wife thinks I'm all right. I called her and said I was leaving the building. I was fine. I'm
beautiful. Hello?
Hello? We're looking at the financial center. The three of us, two broken windows. Oh, God!
Ah! No, my God, no. That was the building collapsing. Cosgrave, his name was. He's up above on that floor, and he doesn't know, but the dispatcher who's talking to him knows they can't get to him. Nothing can be done. And she's saying things like, oh, there's lots of apparatus there. Well, you know, we're trying. And he's impatient. Well, get up here. I told my wife I was fine. I told her I was leaving the building. And then bang, the second airplane hit the second tower. 3,000 Americans died that day. And, you know, people are going to be going to the polls and voting this November 3rd. Who weren't born yet, who, you know, didn't live through that in any sort of cognitive way. It's, you know, I've told this story many times, but I'll just repeat it in a truncated way. I had this friend, Roy Bell, who was late to a meeting at Windows on the World on the, what was it, 101st floor or something like that. And the reason he was late was that this was a Tuesday morning, and Monday night, he and my friend JR had stayed up late watching a Monday night football, and both of them had been drinking. And they said, let's, you know, we'll meet on the ferry. They were over in Jersey City. We'll meet on the ferry at 8 o'clock. Well, Roy missed the 8 o'clock ferry, and he got the 8:30 ferry and got over there and rushed into the building and, you know, got up to the 79th floor where the sky lobby is and where you had to transfer elevators to go up to the 101st. And as he got in the elevator to go up to Windows on the World, the first plane hit. And the building shook and the elevator doors stopped. He said about 18 inches, and he dove out of there. He didn't know what would happen, but he just dove out of that elevator. And a woman hesitated behind him, but came through. But a ball of fuel came screaming down that elevator shaft, singed her, burned everybody else in the elevator alive. His clothes were smoking. She was burned. they went down the stairway. You know, people got out of their way because they were obviously burned. They got down. He was going out on the west side of the building. The cop said, "You can't go out on the west side of the building." Why not? Because people were jumping out. Bodies were flying out of the sky. So he went out another way. He got in an ambulance, driving him away, got a block or so away. The ambulance driver got a call, "Go back. You need to pick up injured people." Roy got out of the ambulance, did not go back. The buildings collapsed on that ambulance. So they almost got him twice. Facebook today is censoring the pictures from that day. I posted a few, you know, especially people jumping, which is probably one of the most horrifying things about that day. And it's amazing. Zuckerberg is out of his mind. He blocks those pictures. You have to click it and say, "I want to see it." "Oh, this may be disturbing. We're not going to let you see it." The video of the planes flying into the building is blocked. Still pictures and video of the big orange fireballs way up there in the top floor is blocked. Pictures of people jumping out of the building, blocked. The iconic picture, Falling Man, published in the New York Times the next morning, it's blocked. It's just amazing. Zuckerberg, what the fuck is wrong with you? It's just infuriating. Just totally infuriating. You only have to listen to Kevin Keith Cosgrave to understand what was really going on. "I told my wife I was fine as I'm leaving the building the second plane hit." 3,000. You know, just think about those people who had to decide, got these incredible flames, you know, jet fuel burning. I can burn up here or I can jump. And they jumped. It's just, you know, you got two ways to die here, burn up or jump. Just incredible. Trump went to Shanksville today.
"The 40 of Flight 93 did the most American of things. They took a vote and then they acted. Together they charged the cockpit. They confronted the pure evil, and in their last act on this earth, they saved our capital. In this Pennsylvania field, the 40 intrepid souls of Flight 93 died as true heroes. Their momentous deeds will outlive us all."
I think that's probably true. That's definitely true. Biden said he was pulling his TV ads today because of 9/11, but he didn't really have to, you know, and you think about the way that the media lobs softballs at him.
"Really, your strength is in traveling around the country and connecting with people. You can't do any of that right now. Mr. Vice President, does that worry you?
Why isn't Joe Biden angrier about all of this?"
"When you hear these remarks, suckers, losers, what does it tell you about President Trump's soul?"
"I want to ask you,
What's your take on the Republican convention so far?
Do you think wearing a mask projects strength or weakness?
You think the President of the United States is rooting for the violence because he thinks it helps him politically?
You think he's actually rooting for violence?
I wonder if you worry that this kind of language that comes from the President of the United States could deter some Americans who are tuning into him to not wear masks.
How concerned are you that they're going to rush something out even before Election Day?
President Trump says offensive things. He never apologizes for it. Is there a double standard here?
Go ahead."
No, probably best I don't.
Yeah, probably best you know. Yeah. I will say this. Jake Tapper interviewed Biden yesterday out in Michigan. And he was, if you weren't going to call it tough, you'd at least call it insistent.
Something else he did is he renegotiated NAFTA.
He did.
He renegotiated NAFTA. Now, when you ran for president, and when Barack Obama ran for president, you both said you would renegotiate NAFTA. You didn't. He did. Nancy Pelosi said that the USMCA, which President Trump signed into law, is a, quote, victory for America's workers. Does he deserve credit for that?
No, I think, remember, he wasn't the one that pushed that particular one that passed. The House amended the bill.
He renegotiated NAFTA and you didn't, is the point. I mean,
because we had a Republican Congress that wouldn't go along with us renegotiating it.
But doesn't he deserve some credit for that? It's better. The USMCA is better than NAFTA.
It is better than NAFTA. But look what the overall trade policy has done, even with NAFTA.
I guess my only point is, I'm a blue collar guy sitting in Macomb County, Michigan, if I were that person.
Yep.
And I'm sitting here listening to your pitch. And I'm thinking, I like what he has to say, but he's part of the establishment that's been selling my jobs down the river. He supported NAFTA. He supported most favored nation status for China. And Trump did negotiate NAFTA, and Obama and Biden didn't.
Well, I'll tell you what we did do. We inherited the greatest recession short of a depression.
Yeah. Did you support NAFTA or not? Biden, 2007.
My problem is I voted for NAFTA.
Yeah.
NAFTA in my state created more jobs than it lost jobs. And you can argue that on balance, it probably created more American jobs than it lost.
Well, you go ahead and argue it. It's not going to be pretty. The other thing that Tapper got into, will you, you know, we've had presidents, and he wasn't referring to Trump exclusively, but, you know, Reagan, FDR, Clinton, who lied about their health situation. I mean, will you be totally transparent about your health?
I guarantee you, I will be totally transparent in terms of my health and all aspects of my health. And when it comes to Donald Trump versus me, just look at us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Just look at us. Who seems to be in shape? Who's able to move around? Who's, I mean, this idea of, you know, slow Joe. I shouldn't laugh about it because, anyway.
You shouldn't laugh about it because we are looking, and you don't look very good, Joe. I mean, Trump's a big fat blob. I'll give you that. But he goes out and plays golf. And he goes and stands before these crowds for hours. And you look pretty damn frail. Pretty frail. And, you know, one more thing. There was an interview with a guy named TJ Ducklow, who was one of these noxious little fuck millennial people, who is a Biden spokesperson. And Brett Baer was interviewing him last night, and the guy was just obnoxious and would not answer questions. You know, Brett started off, well, you know, isn't it true, or is it true that Joe Biden uses a teleprompter to answer questions?
Has Joe Biden ever used a teleprompter during local interviews or to answer Q&A with supporters?
Brett, we are not going to engage. This is straight from the Trump campaign.
But yeah, they're
point.
Using
and
it.
And what it does, Brett, is it's trying to distract the American people.
I'm just,
from,
they're
from,
using
from
it. They
the
talk about it every day. Can you say yes or no?
That's because they talk about it every day, Brett, because they don't have a coherent strategy.
Well, you have
strategy.
An answer. Yes or no?
Brett, they talk about it every
Brett.
Day because they don't have a coherent argument for why Donald Trump deserves re-election, deserves four more years, and they are desperate to throw anything they can against the wall to try to distract from that fact.
I understand, but you can't answer the question.
Brett, I am not going to allow the Trump campaign to funnel their questions through Fox News and get me to respond to that.
I'm not going to allow the Trump campaign to funnel questions through Brett. I mean, Brett Baer should have said, fuck you, and just left the interview right then. But he went on. Joe Biden is famous for attacking Donald Trump when Donald Trump instituted the China ban, which now looks, in retrospect, looks clearly like saved a lot of lives because China was busy seeding the world with infected people. through international travel. They closed off local travel in China, but you could still get on a plane and go to some other country and infect that place. And the only people who were allowed to fly in from China after the travel ban were American citizens or legal residents who were in China at the time. Well, so TJ Ducklow is confronted with this.
Has Joe Biden ever used a teleprompter during local interviews or to answer Q&A?
Sorry, that was the wrong one. Here it
is. Let me just clarify. You're saying that Joe Biden was for closing down travel from China when the president did it?
Joe Biden has been clear, and I can send you the fact checks if they're helpful, Brett. Joe Biden has been clear that he was not against that travel ban.
But he was for it?
Joe Biden has been clear about this, Brett. I can send you the fact checks if they're helpful. This has been fact checked into oblivion.
Okay, I'm just asking you the question. You're saying, yes, he was for the China travel ban when the president implemented it 48 hours after receiving that briefing.
The important thing about the travel ban.
Yes or no? Yes or no, TJ?
Brett, I know that you all like to cite the travel ban. I know the president.
No, the president does. That's why I'm bringing it up. Obviously, it's going to be in a debate.
Brett, hold on. The important thing to know about the travel ban is that even after the president implemented that travel ban, says that he implemented it, tens of thousands of people came in and out of the country.
I'm going to take it that you're not going to answer that question. You're going to send me some fact checks.
What was Donald Trump doing, Brett? He was ignoring the virus.
Let's continue to fact check.
He was praising China.
Unbelievable. That guy thinks that people don't see through that. We know Joe Biden opposed the travel ban. He said so. He said it was hysterical and xenophobic. He opposed it. And that little lying shit comes on the air and expects it. Brett, like he's talking to a 2-year-old. Brett. Just, you know, it's just so damn infuriating. It's just infuriating. Fauci says, guess what? It ain't over.
I just think we need to hunker down and get through this fall and winter because it's not going to be easy. We know every time we lift restrictions, we get a blip. I mean, it's whack-a-mole.
Yeah, well, yeah, it is whack-a-mole, but guess what? The country's coming back. I mean, last night we saw, the first NFL game. At Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City, 22% of the capacity was allowed to buy tickets and go in. The NFL decided they're going to have a Black Lives Matter thing go on, and they had this unity, thing where members of both teams came out, locked arms, and had a moment of whatever for Black Lives Matter, and the fans booed. And it's a big, shocking thing today. Well, the fans booed these guys and their Black Lives Matter thing. Well, yeah, the fans don't want that going on while they're, for this game. They just don't. It offends them that this is what the NFL has come to. And especially since the NFL is totally two-faced about it. They, essentially banned Kaepernick for taking a knee. And now they're going back on it. I mean, anyway, I watched the game. It was fun. I'm glad I, watched the game. And Patrick Mahomes was amazing. But I wish they wouldn't do that. And they're just getting rolled by the social justice warriors. I just wish they wouldn't do that. Trump is still being confronted in White House briefings about being, telling Bob Woodward that he knew the truth about coronavirus, but he wouldn't tell the American public.
You knew on February 7th, you told Bob Woodward how it transferred from person to person in the air, how deadly it was. Why did you not come to the podium and call?
Well, let me ask you this. If Bob Woodward thought that was bad, because this is stuff that everyone knew. If Bob Woodward thought what I said was bad, then he should have immediately, right after I said it, gone out to the authorities so they can prepare and let him know. But he didn't think it was bad, and he said he didn't think it was bad.
Okay. Somebody complained to me the other day that I wasn't doing enough news. So let me read you a couple of news stories. Trump pulls TV ads to save money. That's not a good sign. The return of Rosa Brooks. God, you don't know who this woman is, but let me tell you, she is dangerous. For years, she wrote just screaming far left columns for the LA Times. And she went to work in the Obama Pentagon, which I thought was just horrendous. She was working for a woman named Michelle Flournoy, who had some high position at the Pentagon. Now she's the woman who got together with a whole bunch of Never Trumpers and Democrats and produced this thing called the Transition Integrity Project, which gamed out some scenarios on the what happens if the what happens in the election. And they had four basic scenarios. You know, Biden wins in a landslide, in which case, you know, Trump just leaves the White House as he's supposed to. Trump wins the Electoral College, but loses a popular vote. And one of the solutions was that literally, according to the Transition Integrity Project, the military was going to have to remove Trump from office and people were going to have to take to the streets for rioting to make him leave. I'm telling you, the woman is really dangerous. And this morning she's got a op-ed in the Washington Post, you know, calling for essentially civil unrest if Trump wins again. What else we got? Oh, the story of Jessica Krug, George Washington University professor of African American studies, who passed herself off for black for years, and was a African American studies expert and professor, and finally had to confess that she's white. George Washington University fired her. And there's a story today in the papers about how, you know, people knew. You could just look at her and know she wasn't black. They knew. They let her get away with it forever. The Mueller team, the IG is reporting that the Mueller team's phones have all been wiped or blocked in such a way that they cannot be opened, so they can't check their text messages. Nice, Mueller team. And they all, you know, I don't know, 14, 15 phones from the key lawyers. And they're all locked in the same way and wiped in the same way. And it's supposed to be an accident. The LA County Health Director, just a scary looking woman, says no school opening until after the election. Oh, really? Well, what the hell is that all about? I think it's obvious. I think it's extremely obvious. Okay, so I got a lot of mail, which I think was gratifying, or not a lot, but, you know, enough to be gratifying, about Angry Rich. You know, people, you know, Angry Rich is recovering. He's in ICU after getting a liver transplant yesterday in a 7-hour operation. I've seen a little video of him. He looks good. He's intubated. He can't talk, but he's alert and awake and, you know, pissed off, which is his standard. That's how he is. And he's doing good. It was a successful operation and a compatible liver donor. And he's going to be great. So I get this note from Doug. My prayers going out to Angry Rich. Oh, those days when of Fox Radio, when Rich and Christine were part of the show. God bless Rich with his recovery. Yeah, that's great. from Larry. Quick recovery, Angry Rich. This from James. Get well soon, Angry Rich. Sending good thoughts to you, buddy. What else do we have here? Then we got this up here about Biden. This is from Alan. Trump should have asked Kamala Harris for a Supreme Court picks. You know, well, that's true, because basically it's her running for president. This is another from May, sending positive thoughts and prayers for Angry Rich. I wonder if it would be possible to add some vintage clips from your old radio show. I really used to love listening to y'all when I cruised up and down the highway. The miles would just fly by. Many times I would sit in the car until the show ended before heading inside. Thank you. Yeah, it's really hard to do that because Fox owns all that stuff and they don't like me to do it. Okay, so the Bitch Box, let's see, did I leave anything out? I probably left some news out, but I'm trying to cover this stuff because somebody complained I don't do enough of it. Bitch Box, 859-544-2766. It's kind of a grab bag thing. And if Khalil comes up first, I'm going to have to cut him off because he's supposed to go last.
Hey, John, this is Neil. The Texans, your own team is who's playing the Chiefs, and you can't remember them 2 days in a row? Anyway, I wanted to pass on my best wishes to Angry Rich. I know that's some serious stuff to deal with. I remember how shocked it was when I heard my friend Todd Christensen passed away while on the table getting his liver transplant. So I'm glad he came through it. Okay, and I wish him a speedy recovery. Talk to you later.
Yeah, the Texans aren't my team. They're Houston. I'm Dallas. So yes, but thanks for the call. And once again, if this is Khalil, I'm gonna have to cut him off.
Hi, John. Ron in Etna, California.
Hey, Ron.
Yes, the state of Jefferson is on fire here. But the most important thing is Angry Rich, and I am so glad to hear that he's doing well. And so I just want to say that to him. And you know, to the people that have been telling you to have more news, the reason that most of us listen to you, of course, is because you don't do that. And I'm sure we prefer just to hear what you want to talk about. We all get the news all too instantly here. And great call from that gal, Chrissy. So I'm glad everything's doing good there. But that was a good call. She's really good on the radio. Wow. Anyway. Do well. You always do. Keep up the good work, John. Bye-bye.
So Ron in Etna is up in Northern California where I was born in Redding. And, yeah, they're on fire up there. That brings up something. You know, the environmentalists are arguing about why is it California is on fire? And some people are saying, well, it's climate change because temperatures are higher, drying out the vegetation, making it more susceptible to fire. And others are saying, look, they don't, you know, the state of California doesn't manage these forests anymore. They don't have controlled burns. And they don't, you know, send goats up on the hills to, you know, to chew up the vegetation like they once did. I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, you know, look, I grew up in Redding when we'd have, I distinctly remember summers of 115 degrees and, you know, the vegetation dried up. We've had some storms. There are PG&E lines going down that start fires and there are arsonists. And there are just too damn many people in California. You know, it's going over 40 million now. It's just too many. They have to build houses up in the foothills. That leads to, you know, people, obviously. And that's how fires start, people. So, you know, get some people out of California and the problems may be over. All right, so I'm assuming this last call is our guy.
Hey, Ron, I got to call you so much, man. Beat my ass up, man.
Hey, old John, it's me.
Man, there's so much shit in the news.
Yeah, it's time for Khalil and his 4 minutes of funk. He's out there driving that truck trying to get you some toilet paper, man.
That's black.
Well, let's just see if it's Khalil. I mean, it's his turn.
Hey, yo, Snowman. It's
me. It is. Okay, good.
I'm calling and trying to get shit straight. I'm trying to help you out here, man.
I know. Now, you're doing a good job.
Ladies and gentlemen, yes. The John Gibson Morning Show podcast. John Gibson is retired.
Yeah, he is.
I just thought about this shit. John is retired. He's old. He's white.
What?
He's privileged.
What?
He is not supposed to be getting up and having shit done by 12, 1 o'clock. He's old, people.
Jeez.
John Gibson has done so much shit. He can't keep getting up doing this shit like this early. You got to give this old fucker a chance, people. He's got to get up and he's got to, you know, put his hearing aids in and,
oh my God,
pull, you know, get his brain running. He got to get some coffee.
Yeah,
got to get a little booger sugar. You know, that's old school for y'all. Some of y'all, you might not know what that is. You gotta get it, but you gotta get all this shit together. It takes a minute for him to get his, you know, to get himself back on point.
Mm-hmm.
So if the old fucker is a little late, y'all don't give him a hard time.
Well, geez, thanks.
It's difficult. He done did so much drugs back in the day, people,
that
trying to get up now is just really hard, okay? John Gibson used to party harder than some of these damn rock stars out there. Matter of fact, I mean, he said he's snorted up all the Rolling Stones cocaine. He got all of it. Y'all got to understand, it's hard for John Gibson.
Yeah, Jesus.
I'm taking up for him because, hell, I used to supply most of this. But, you know, give an old man a damn break.
Mm-hmm.
Every now and then you're going to be a little late.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, hell, you know, sometimes you can get your prostate to work early. Sometimes your prostate takes a little time to get to work. Sometimes your prostate will start working and just damn won't stop.
Mm.
He's a great. He's an old fucking guy.
Jeez.
And he's doing this more for us than he's doing it for himself. $3.50 ain't shit. Mm. This old man is, I mean, hell, he used to make that, you know, what we giving him in a month. He used to make that, you know, in a couple of hours back in the day on Fox. So,
hours.
Come on. Really, people. Really. Come on. Let's think about it. Look at him. He's old as fuck.
Oh, Jesus.
You can't keep expecting too much out of this old fucker.
I don't know. This is...
That being said,
jeez.
Angry Rich, you mean motherfucker. You better not get sick no more on me, man. You better not do this shit again. You're too mean, you're too angry, and you're too damn needed. I love you, brother. You keep the fight up, man. Don't you give up. So everybody knows, hey, yo, I'm all about this. We got to have, you know, I want to need prayers and everything out for Angry Rich. Everybody knows how we do it here, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
This man here needs all the positive energy coming in his direction. And I believe that if we all focus on Angry Rich, there. That's my brother from another mother. I only have a couple folks that I say that about. That's Rich, Dan Conway, John Gibson. Yo. So we got Christy. That's just my girl. So let's once again, people, focus on Angry Rich. Send him that love. Johnny boy, you know what time it is. Let me go wake up your Negro. Jacoy! Jacoy!
Jacoy. No, hey!
Yeah, baby. Wait! Wake up, motherfucker! Yeah, we're gonna go get some medicine. Take over the Angry Rich house. Yeah. We're going to Columbia. You know his medicine. Him and John Gibson's medicine. Let's go, motherfucker. Beat me up, bitch. Yo, John. I'm gone. Peace.
Whew. Okay, bye-bye.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't know what to say about that. Birthday time. Jerome Ragney, ring a bell? He was the guy who created hair. Born in 1942, died at 48 years old of cancer. But he created hair. Give me a head of hair, long, beautiful hair, all that stuff. And, you know, it was a big hit, weirdly. And there was one giant recorded hit out of that musical score, and it was produced by my friend Bones Howe. It was The Fifth Dimension and the Dawning of the Age of Aquarius.
Mystic Christmas.
fifth dimension, dawning of the age of Aquarius. Big hit, 6 weeks at number one. Congratulations to Bones Howe in the fifth dimension. Jerry Ragney's birthday today. Born in 1942, died at age of 48 of cancer. Write to me at host@johngibson.com. Call the Bitch Box at 859-544-2766. Follow me on Twitter at Gibson Radio. Angry Rich getting better. He's going to be in the hospital for at least 3 weeks. But then he's going to come out all new. And as soon as he can talk, we're going to figure out a way to talk to him and get it direct from the horse's mouth. Have a good weekend. Tell your friends. The podcast is free today, so tell your friends, listen up. Maybe they'll subscribe.